Okay, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, and chapter number 5. I'm going to read a single verse, but I am going to ask you to use your Bibles this evening, because we're going to go to several places. This is one of my favorite verses because I do quote it a lot. And you know what? That's a good thing, because they're God's words, not my own.
Right.
And it doesn't get any more true than that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and if I could have you stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to read just one single verse, and then we'll pray. We'll get into the rest of our message. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Could we read that together? If we would, are you ready? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for salvation, Lord. I thank you for all the different facets of salvation. And I thank you that when we get saved, we are turned into a new creature. Lord, I pray that you would work this message into the hearts of the hearers, and that we would go from this place confident in our new identity in Christ. I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've been doing kind of a series on Sunday nights. I call it the many facets of salvation, like a diamond that's cut, has many facets on it, and they all reflect off of one another. And you know, you can have a diamond, and I used to work in the jewelry industry, and you can have a rough, uncut diamond, and I'll just throw a number out there and say 10 carats, which is a pretty big rock, you understand. And it can be worth thousands of dollars. But the jeweler, the expert jeweler, can cut that 10 carat diamond down to only 1 carat. Understand, just a tenth of its original weight. But with the different facets that he cuts into that diamond can be worth tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. So understand that the facets, They're important. They reflect off of one another. And I think salvation is very much like a diamond. It has many facets. There's many aspects of salvation. And I think salvation needs to continue to be preached even to the saved.
Amen.
And I see this like with the letters of Paul in the New Testament. Paul writes to churches, and the church is saved individuals. And so if Paul felt like he needed to explain the gospel to saved individuals, I think that's the same way today. I think we need to continue to have salvation be at the forefront of our minds, because, you know, the Bible says that you can get to a point where you even forget that you've been purged from your old sins. You can get to a point where you've forgotten that you've been saved. And I pray that would never be the case for you. But we're looking at some of the different aspects of salvation. And some people think salvation is only a get out of hell free card.
Oh my.
Now, let me tell you, that is a great thing. That is motivation enough for me to get saved. That's how I came to Christ, was I didn't want to go to hell. And for other people, they came to Christ because they wanted to go to heaven. But my friends, salvation is so much more than that.
Right.
Salvation involves so many more things. And as Christians, I think we ought to grow into a place of a deeper appreciation for what salvation truly means for us. Dr. Jack Hiles used the illustration of a time release capsule. And you know what happens? You take the time release capsule, and it's got a little bit of medicine that helps you right away, but it's got that coating. And as the stomach acid wears away at that coating, it releases more medicine. And then there's another layer. And as it starts to work, it, layer by layer over time, it administers more and more medicine over time. And salvation's the same way. As we grow in our Christian walk, as we grow in our spiritual lives, we reveal another aspect of what it is to be saved. And we reveal even more and more over time. And if we only ever keep salvation in our minds when we first get saved, then it can kind of get boring to you. It can get monotonous. It can mean not a whole lot to you. And so I'm hoping that with this series we can look at the different facets of salvation. We've already looked at salvation as God's righteousness. You are God's righteousness. God's righteousness is revealed in the plan of salvation. And then we also looked last week at redemption, how God literally bought us. And the purchase price for our lives was His blood. And I didn't intend for it to be alliterated, you know. I wish I could say I was that skilled, that I could come up with things alliterated. But it just so happened, I use that phrase a lot this week, talking about God's providence. It just so happens that tonight it starts with an R. So we've looked at God's righteousness, His redemption. And now we're going to look at regeneration. Regeneration. So in verse 16 or verse 17. Oh, no. Yeah. Verse 16 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." What does this mean? Well, before Christ, we were a man after the flesh.
Yeah.
We were a man after the flesh. In other words, your fleshly desires and attitudes determined who you were. You could be summed up by all of your fleshly attitudes and desires. But now, because we are in Christ, we don't even know who that person is anymore.
Amen.
That is a stranger to me. Who I used to be, who you used to be, is not even in the same zip code.
Right.
They are a stranger to us. I don't even know that man anymore. The former self that desired the wrong things, the former self that had the fleshly attitudes and the worldly desires, I don't even know that person anymore. That's a completely different person.
Yeah.
Now, you don't even know that person anymore. Verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." You know what that word "new" means? It means it's not improved. God didn't just take you and kind of improve you and made you like a fixer-upper, right? No, it is not rehabilitated. You didn't go into rehab and you started working on yourself. You're not healed, not reformed. You are a new creature.
Amen.
That word "new" means never before seen.
Yeah.
Fresh off the assembly line. Fresh. Not even related to the old form. Completely different.
Yeah.
Understand, God did not just pick you up and clean you off. He made you into someone completely new.
Amen.
And it says we are a new creature. You ever wonder why the Bible doesn't say, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new man"? Or a new woman? It says we are a new creature. Not called man, because man is sinful. Man is corrupt. We're, as part of the human race, that's just part of our curse, is that we are just sinful people. But we are a different creation altogether. That's why the Bible calls us a new creature. We're a different creation altogether, a creation of God. In other words, God made us supernaturally after holiness and righteousness in His image.
Right.
So what does regeneration mean? What does that mean? Well, if you take apart that word, regeneration, you see the word, you see the prefix re, R-E. And that means again, okay? Generation is the second part of that word. That means to be born. Generation, to be born. In fact, you see the word "gene" in there. That's where we get the word genetics. Okay? So regeneration means you have been re-gened. You have gotten new genes. You have been reborn. You know, your genes are what make you you.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know you were going to get into a science lesson tonight, but your genes are what make you you. Everything about you, that from the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, to your height, to your skin shade, all of those things are determined by your genes. And you got your genes when you were conceived. You got your genes from your parents. And this is why you may favor one parent over another.
Yeah.
You might hear that you look like your father, or you look like your mother, or someone else in the family. There's a family resemblance there because you inherited their genes. Everybody tracking where I'm going with this?
Amen.
Now, turn over to John chapter number 3. I told you we're going to use our Bibles tonight. John chapter number 3. Keep that in mind. Those are our genes. John chapter number 3. And we'll start in verse 5. Nicodemus has come to Jesus at night. And he's had some questions for Jesus. And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Did you catch that? In verse number 5, it says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Understand salvation, there are two births here.
Right.
Not just one. And in case you didn't know what he meant, being born of the water and being born of the Spirit, he says in the next verse, that which is born of flesh is flesh.
Right.
And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we see a fleshly birth.
Right.
That's your physical birth. Every one of us has gone through that. Okay, you are a testament to that. If you're here, okay, that you have been born. Congratulations. But number 2, there is a spiritual birth. This is the birth that not everybody has had.
Right.
This is the type of birth that Jesus says we need to see the kingdom of heaven. It's a fleshly birth and a spiritual birth. In other words, he says, born of the water, that is your physical birth. You ever, when a woman is getting close to delivering a child, that amniotic sac that protects the unborn baby breaks, and we often say the water breaks, right? Everybody got that? Everybody tracking? Some people are very confused, and they like to take this verse and make it about baptism. And in order to get to heaven, you have to be born of the Spirit and then born of the water, being baptized. But that doesn't make very much sense for a couple of reasons. Number one, why did he say be born of the water first,
yeah,
and then born of the Spirit?
Right.
You got to be saved first and then baptized. It's never put in that order. But there's nothing here that says you've got to be baptized.
Yeah.
This is talking about that physical birth, being born of water when the water breaks, and then being born of the Spirit.
Amen.
Salvation is being reborn. It is being born again. If you received your parents' genes at conception, follow me now. When you were conceived, if you received your parents' genes, then as a believer, when you get born again, you receive spiritual genes.
Amen.
Remember how I told you genes come from your parents?
Yeah.
This is why you resemble the ones who made you, the ones who conceived you. Well, as a Christian, you have inherited the Father's genes. And this is why we can call him our Heavenly Father. We've been born again of the Spirit. God is now our Father. And understand, the genes are what makes you you, right? It's what makes you an individual. Nobody is 100% just like you.
Right.
Understand, your genes kind of make up your identity. When people think of your image, they think of what you look like, and those are your genes. So understand, when you are saved, when you become a child of God, and don't you love that? You become a child of God, adopted into His family. You've been born of the Spirit into God's family, then those spiritual genes are what make you, you. Those spiritual genes identify you as a believer. If God is our Father, then He instills in us His genes, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is God. And I want you to get a hold of this, because this is just truly amazing if we can get a hold of this. The Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit resides in every believer.
Amen.
You got a part of God inside of you right now. And if that don't make you want to scream and shout, I don't know what's wrong with you. I can't help you. Remember, genes are what make you, you. This applies spiritually too. If you have God's genes, that is the Holy Spirit, then that is what ought to define you as a child of God. Now, because you've been regenerated or regened into the family of God, that means you automatically take on some of God's qualities. Understand what I just said there. When I got my genes from my parents, there are things that I resemble my parents. I take on some of their qualities.
Right.
You ever have that? You ever have a child that does something or misbehaves in some way, and you know which parent that came from? I'll tell you now, my little boy, he is just as stubborn can be. And he got that from one of his parents. And I'm not here to tell you which parent that is. And we'll leave it there. But anyway, understand that a child inherits those things from their parents. They start to look and they start to talk like their parents. They start to act like their parents. Well, in a spiritual case, we inherit some things from God. Can I tell you, God is eternal?
Yeah.
And when you get saved, can I say this? You inherit that everlasting life.
Amen.
God is eternal, which means as a child of God, you will never die.
Right.
Now, your physical body is not the one that got born again. Now, was it?
Right.
It was the Spirit.
Right.
Your body will die, as will mine. We all have to make that trip. But our spirit, that's what got born again into God's family. And if God is eternal, guess what else? Is the Spirit. Your spirit will never die. Eternal life, and this is where so many people get mixed up. Eternal life, a lot of people think that starts when your physical body dies.
Oh my.
Okay? But understand, when you get saved, your spirit starts to live forever the moment you got saved.
That's right.
It will never die.
Amen.
Now, follow me on this. If your spirit will never die, then that means there is nothing you can do to lose your salvation.
Yeah. Right.
Because the Bible promises that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? That's from the Bible. I didn't make that up. It's God's word right there. So understand, if you got saved and somehow you've committed some sort of sin that you've forfeited salvation, then at some point your spirit will die, won't it?
Yeah.
But my Bible says that you shall never perish. You shall never die, but have everlasting life.
Right.
So understand, that's eternal security.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to find the words for it. That's what we inherit from our Father. If God is eternal, then our spirit will live forever and you can never lose it. Wouldn't that be sad? I mean, that just doesn't make sense, does it?
Right.
If you could somehow lose it, as if God's grace was enough to lift you out of your sin, but it's not enough to keep you.
Oh, my.
That's just it doesn't make sense.
Right.
If you could somehow lose your salvation, you would. Every single one of us would.
Yes, sir.
So understand that part of what you get at salvation, your genes, is that Holy Spirit. Your spirit will never die. Now that's just a physical quality. But what about a spiritual quality? Well, you know, sometimes when a baby's born, he doesn't really look like either parent. Have you ever had that happen? You've seen a baby born and you're trying to figure out who they look like, and it's just not really clear. But over time, they really start to develop all those features. They start to grow and they start to look a lot more like mom or the dad. Well, that's the way it is with us as Christians. We may not see a dramatic change when you get saved. When someone comes to Christ, immediately they don't just transform right before your very eyes. Sometimes it's a process. As we grow in the Lord, as we grow, even the Bible talks about the Christian life being like different stages of life. You could be like a newborn baby, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, the Bible says. And you could be a little bit more mature in the faith. There are adolescents in the faith. There are full-grown adults in the faith. But as you grow in the Lord, the Holy Spirit changes you over time to make you look more and more like our Heavenly Father each and every single day. This is a process called sanctification.
Right.
Sanctification, that's a big word. And can I give you a fun definition? That's the Christianizing of the Christian.
Yeah.
That is the process by which God makes the Christian look a little bit more like Him every single day.
Amen.
Look at in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians with me if you would. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let's start reading in verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a pretty extensive list, don't you
right.
think? That's a list of a lot of really bad people.
Yeah.
There's a list of people on there that just sound wicked to me, right? But what's that next verse say? Verse 11, and such were some of you. Well, hold on just a second. Who's Paul writing to? He's writing to saved people.
That's right.
You're telling me that all of these saved people used to be adulterers and fornicators, effeminate, abusers of themselves and mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners? You're telling me those all those saved people used to be those things? Absolutely. And can I say such were some of you? And such were me too. Such were some of you, but ye are, what's that next word? Washed. Ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Again, we see there's washing involved. We see sanctification. It's a process.
Yeah.
Over time, when you get saved, you automatically, boom, don't become super Christian and you just never sin again. If you do, I'd like to take notes from you, okay? But not even myself, okay? No, but that doesn't happen to anybody. It's a process that happens over time. God is constantly washing us. The Bible uses this illustration like a mirror. A mirror that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. And have you ever been to an antique store and you've seen an old mirror and it's covered in dust?
Yeah.
And you really can't hardly see yourself in it at all. It's just, it's rough and it's covered in dust. But if you use a little bit of elbow grease, a little bit of Windex, and maybe something a little bit heavier than that, and you polish that mirror, the image becomes clearer and clearer. And that's what the Holy Spirit's job is to do.
Right.
We're that mirror. And when we get saved, we don't look a whole lot like Jesus Christ.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit, over time, polishes us and cleans us up so that each and every single day, we look a little bit more like Jesus.
Right.
At least that's how it ought to be. look in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. Just a couple books over, book of Galatians, and chapter number 6, Galatians chapter number 6, and we'll look at verse 15, Galatians 6, 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Again, there is that new creature. Now, I want you to understand what he's saying here, and I want to give you a big disclaimer. Because if you're not careful, you will put the cart before the horse and get everything all out of balance and make the Bible say something it never says. It's not your goodness or your morals that make you saved.
Right.
This verse says, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Keeping the law isn't going to make you saved. Keeping a list of rules is not going to make you saved. The only thing that makes you saved, it says, but a new creature, being a new creation. Yeah. That's what makes you saved. Being born again. So don't get the cart before the horse. We are not saved because we do good works.
Yeah.
But we do good works because we are saved.
Amen.
So understand, don't get those things mixed up now.
Right.
Don't get those things mixed up. So here's the question. Do you look like your Heavenly Father? You know, do you look like your Heavenly Father? Do you favor Him? Or if you're born of the Spirit into God's family, do you have that family resemblance? Is there, when people look at you, hey, I see He looks like His Father. He looks just like, He looks like God. He looks like Jesus Christ. How do you look more like Christ? That's another good question. How does a Christian look more and more like Christ? It's very simple. I'm going to give you the key, the answer, and it's a very simple answer. It's not by trying hard.
Yeah.
If you are trying harder to do better, you will fail.
Yeah.
Okay? If you are trying to keep up a list of rules, and okay, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and I'm trying to keep all these rules, and I do my dead level best, you will fail.
Yeah.
And you know what? You will get frustrated.
Yeah.
And you will be tempted to say, you know what? This Christian life, it's just too difficult. It's not difficult if you would just get this one key, this one principle. How do you become more and more like Christ? Are you ready? The Holy Spirit does all the work. You have to let Him do the work.
Right.
That's it. It's that simple. The Holy Spirit's got to do all the work. You got to let Him do all the work. So why does this seem so difficult? Because even as Christians, we don't always want to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that's that little voice inside. Whenever you do something you shouldn't, it's that voice that says, you know better.
Yeah.
You know you shouldn't have done that. And you did it anyway. Or have you ever had this happen? Maybe you're at the gas pump or you're at the grocery store and you got one of them gospel tracts in your pocket and you hear that little voice and you can't, it's not an audible voice, but you hear that little voice inside say, hey, you ought to give that cashier that gospel tract. You ought to share Jesus with that person. You ought to share Jesus with that. Hey, that's not a conscience.
No.
That is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That is that third part of the Godhead that lives inside of you. So understand, all you have to do, if you want to be more and more like Christ, is just humble yourself and say, have thine own way, Lord.
Hey.
Have thine own way. You ever been driving, you ever see that bumper sticker on someone's car? Jesus is my co-pilot.
Yeah.
You ever seen that? Well, if He is your co-pilot, you ought to switch seats.
Right.
Okay? I don't want to just hand the controls over to the Lord when things get difficult, because chances are, if He was driving in the first place, we wouldn't be getting into the mess that I got myself into.
Yeah.
Understand, if you would just humble yourself and say, have thine own way, O Lord. Have thine own way. And I'll submit to You. That's humility. And you know, that's not something that's easy for us. That doesn't come naturally to us. And you know, there are a lot of Christians, they ignore the Holy Spirit's voice.
Yeah.
They stifle it. Well, you know what happens? The more you ignore, the more you stifle something, the quieter and quieter it gets. Remember how I said you can forget that you've been saved in the first place? It doesn't say you lose your salvation, but you forgot about it.
Yeah.
That's why you have a whole lot of saved people. Don't act like they're saved.
Come on.
Because they have forgotten. They've been purged from their old sins. Why? Because they quit listening. They listen to the Holy Spirit's voice at the beginning, drawing them to salvation. But then when it came to their lives, I don't need that. As if you need the Holy Spirit to save you from hell, but you don't need the Holy Spirit to live your life here on earth.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy. So don't ignore it. Don't stifle his voice. Just humble yourself and determine that you're going to let the Holy Spirit be your guide.
Yeah.
You're going to let the Holy Spirit guide you in every decision you make. Don't make a decision without consulting the Holy Spirit. Don't get out of bed without determining, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. When you do, you start exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit. Remember that list I told you about? If you're trying to exhibit love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and all those things on your own, you're going to fail. You're going to be frustrated. But the Bible says these are the fruit of the Spirit. You know what a fruit is? The fruit is the natural result of a healthy, growing tree. That's what a fruit is. Okay, understand, an apple tree doesn't have to work really hard to make apples.
Yeah.
It just makes them because it's part of its nature. It's natural. Same goes with an orange tree or a grapevine. Those plants, they don't have to work hard to create the fruit. It just happens naturally. Well, the same is with a Christian. A Christian should just naturally exhibit these things when they're being led of the Spirit.
Right.
When you let the Holy Spirit have control, you're going to see fruit in your life that exhibits itself in love. You're going to be a loving person. You're going to be a joyful person. Oh, so many Christians walk around and they just don't have any joy.
Right.
Or they've let the devil steal their joy. Well, you know what? They're not walking in the Spirit. They're walking in the flesh.
Yeah.
Peace. A Christian is going to have that perfect peace. That peace that passes all understanding. How come we have so many anxious Christians? How come many Christians today are so fearful? It's because they're not walking after the Spirit.
Yeah.
They're walking after the flesh. You see what I'm getting at? Don't try on your own. You will fail. Just let the Holy Spirit lead. And you know what? You'll start looking a little bit more and more like your Heavenly Father. And you know what? That's growth. That's what regeneration is all about, being a new creature. That is some supernatural power. That's not anything the world can do on its own. It can't. It tries to emulate those things, and it tries to do its very best, but all they can do is put on an act, put on a sham or a show. It's not real. It's not in here. But the Christian has that supernatural power, those heavenly genes, the Holy Spirit. Understand, being saved is so much more than just not going to hell and going to heaven. Salvation is being regenerated and being a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes.